Good morning, folks. Nothing is impossible with God. What does that mean for you this morning? Nothing is impossible with God. If I could speak to you this morning about how to put your trust in God this morning, and you could tell me about the questions that you have, the barriers that you have, the challenges that you have in your life, maybe the hurts, the bad experiences that you've had. But I want to tell you, I cannot say anything this morning that can help you to move from here to here, because frankly, it's impossible. It's impossible for you to move from here to here. And I cannot give you what you need to move from here to here. But God can. But God can. And if your understanding of church, if your understanding of Christianity, if your understanding of faith is based on something that you think you can understand, something that you think you can rationalize, something that you can work out in terms of ABC, then there's going to always be a gap. And that gap can only be filled with faith. And it's faith in something impossible that becomes possible because of who God is, what he's like, and what he has done. Let's pray for the two things that have been mentioned to us in May's testimony this morning about that little boy, that little baby, and that family. We thank you, Father, for what we've heard about that family in Inverness. And we pray that you would come to them and that you would reveal yourself to them and that you would transform their life. We pray that you would use us to be the channel of your good news to them as a family. And we pray for May as she seeks to give up on the smoking. And Lord, we thank you that she is trusting you for this challenge. And we pray that you would fill her with your Holy Spirit and give her something that she doesn't have within herself, that you would set her free from her addiction to tobacco. We thank you, Lord, for your power to do that which we cannot do in our own strength. And we praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. See, this story here from May Nicholson is well worth reading. And we could call it May's song. She actually told me this morning her name was Mary. So tonight, come back and hear Mary's song. What God has done for Mary and through Mary in that town of Glasgow, in that place, Govan. And not only Mary's song, but the song of others too. And it's great to know that Mary has brought seven friends with her tonight, and many of them are praise. You know, they're into praise. And I think it's just so, you've written the sermon for me. Thank you, May. Because we've got May's story, and then we've got May's song. And when we hear May's story tonight, and then we hear the song of praise in response to what God has done, then we hear about May's God. Because we want to leave tonight not only hearing about a story about a person, we want to leave tonight not only hearing a story which leads to a song, but we want to leave tonight knowing who God is and what he's like. And that's what tonight's all about. But that's also what Mary's song in the Bible is all about. So if you turn with me to Luke chapter 1, I want to talk to you this morning about her faith, Mary's faith. In the different songs in Luke's gospel, we have Zechariah and we have Mary. And Zechariah is a person who's totally closed. He is so quick to give reasons why it cannot happen. But Mary, she doesn't stop the conversation with God. She's willing to continue the conversation. And so she says, how can this be? Are you the kind of person that is quick to close down the conversation with your doubts, or are you willing to offer your doubts to God as questions that in the ongoing conversation, he will give you what you need? See, the difference between Zechariah and Mary is that Mary had doubts. Of course she did. We all have doubts. But she had an openness to continue the conversation. You see, if we want to look this morning at Mary's faith and Mary's song and Mary's God, when we start with Mary's faith, let's be clear, it's different for everyone, isn't it? Some people hear about Jesus and they immediately respond in trust, like the Philippian jailer. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. He's baptized within a few minutes. And then there are other people that take years, decades, and God is in control of that process. Faith is not something that we are in control of. We think, yeah, I decided to follow Jesus, but God is also involved. And let's not be surprised if it's gradual. Let's not be surprised if we don't always understand the journey we're on. But are we still open? So Mary says, how will this be? And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. You see, Mary, the answer to the how is God. And you see, Mary, you will never understand God. You will never understand everything about God because he is God. So this morning, are you open with your doubts? And if the answer to your question, how will this be, is God, are you willing to allow God to be in control of that process? Are you willing to relinquish control to him? Mary's faith was not only gradual. It was measured. She weighed things up. The word for wondered is actually means, it's like an accounting word, unbelievably. It means like to audit, to look at things. But it was a measured incredulity. It was a measured incredulity. She kind of thought, this is just so much bigger than me. This is, how can this be? But from that measured incredulity, she moved to simple trust. See, as the angel explained, God is going to do it. God is going to come upon you. And God is going to birth something new in you. Then it was too big for her to understand. But she said these amazing words, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." This miracle that God was going to do was something that she came to believe that God could do because God said he would do it. And Mary is remembered and blessed not because of anything other than this, that she believed that what the Lord had said to her will be accomplished. That what he said to her will be accomplished. And I want to ask you this morning, are you willing to trust God in anything he sends into your life, whether you like it or not? God sometimes brings difficulties into our life to make us search for him, to make us depend on him. You may be in difficulty this week. I want to ask you, are you throwing yourself upon God in that difficulty, or are you trying to get by without God? God may well have put that problem in your life so that you will stop depending on yourself and start trusting him. You see, are you willing to trust God in anything he sends into your life, whether you like it or not? And are you willing to trust God in anything he says in his word, whether you understand it or not? Unless I understand it, I will not believe it. Who made God? You'll never understand that one. But do you believe that God is from everlasting to everlasting? How did God create the world? We may never understand it, but do you believe that he did it? How did God send his son to die on a cross, that all the sins that had been committed beforehand and all the sins that would be committed into the future were forgiven by those who believe that Jesus died on the cross in our place? Do you understand it? Do you understand the mechanism? Do you understand how it works? Whether you understand it or not, the most important thing is, do you believe it? Because God said in his word, for those who believe, they will become his children. That he loved the world so much that he gave his only son, that whoever believes on him will not perish but have everlasting life. Whether you understand it, do you believe it? You see, Mary, it took her time. She had this measured incredulity, which led to a simple trust that God said it, and therefore I believe it. And then she had this willing surrender. I am the Lord's servant. What an incredible cost there was for Mary to surrender. You know, she was scandalously pregnant. What a scandal. Why did God allow a scandal to be the start of his salvation plan for the world? Why did he start with a scandal? Why didn't God make it simpler? Why didn't God make it easier? Why did he make it so difficult for Mary to believe? He made it so impossible for her that she was going to, according to Old Testament law, be stoned to death because Mary had no concept of God sending the Messiah who would be born in her womb. A virgin birth. Didn't expect it. Wasn't looking for it. Nobody expected it. Yeah, they knew the Messiah was coming. But like that, in that way, and all the way through Jesus' life, there's all these whispers that he's illegitimate. When he said, "My father told me to do this," they said, "Well, we really know who your father is. Why would God do it like that? Why would God put such unbelievable odds stacked against Mary at the beginning of that significant moment?" Because Mary had to believe that that which was impossible is possible because God said it. Because God is powerful enough to do that. And you see, in Mary's song, she speaks about Abraham, doesn't she? She speaks about Abraham and how that which is being done for her is not just about her own individual life, it's something about the nation of Israel, it's something about the whole world, and that amazingly she has this privilege that God, through her, is going to bring salvation to Israel. God, through her, is going to set Israel free, is going to reconcile Israel to God. It's going to turn fathers back to their sons and sons back to their fathers. And it's going to happen through her. And you see, there was this man called Abraham. And God said, "Through your offspring, I will bless all the nations." But God said to Abraham, "Go, leave your security, step out in faith. And I'm not going to tell you where you're going. I just want you to go. I'm not going to tell you what it's going to be like. I'm just going to tell you to go." And because Abraham believed God, it was credited to him as righteousness. He was known as God's, someone so close to God. Why? Because and as Hebrews tells us, he was willing to go even though he didn't know where he was going. So I want to ask you this morning, are you prepared to put your trust in something which is impossible that you will never understand? And are you willing to go even though you won't know where you're going? I'm not a salesman. I'm not here to make it easy for you. This is God's word. And are you willing to go even though your life may get more difficult? Because Jesus said that if you want to follow me, you need to take up your cross. You need to go my way and not the way of this world. Are you willing to trust me with that? Are you willing to lose the whole world in order to gain the pearl of great price, relationship with Jesus? Yes, 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 said Mary. And then her song explodes in joy, and it's a personal song. She says, my soul glorifies in the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. There's a sense of astonishment at what God has done. I want to ask you this morning, are you astonished in your relationship with God? Are you full of amazement at what God has done? Or do you think it's pretty boring being a Christian? Pretty dull, pretty routine, pretty religious. When we allow God to be God, when we trust Him at His word, when we surrender our lives to His purpose, it is an incredible adventure. But it's an adventure that we only pursue with a sense of incredible gratitude that God would choose us. How many people are there in Inverness today? How many people are seeking God today? And if you are in that place of wanting to grow in your relationship with God, we need to be so grateful because God has done that for us. And are we grateful? Are we amazed that God would choose us, would allow us to be a part of His great plan? Are we humble? Is Jesus at the center of our lives, or have we put ourselves at the center? Are we willing to say, Lord, I'm prepared to do anything you want me to do? Or are we saying, no, only on my terms? You see, Mary is so humble, even though she is going to give birth to the Son of God. She's going to give birth to the Son of God. Has there ever been a more noble service that a human could ever do than to give birth to the Son of God? But her song is pointing away from herself. She says, my Savior. My Savior. She's humble. She doesn't tell, her song is not about how God did it. Her song is about what God's like. And when we share about our testimony, our song, we need to be telling people what God is like. The language that Mary uses is the language of her Jewish faith. She's borrowing vocabulary from Hannah's song in 1 Samuel, but Mary's situation is so different from Hannah's situation. But it's the same God who transforms lives. What does she say? First of all, she says that God has been mindful. Verse 48, God is mindful. What does that mean, mindful? It means that God pays attention, that God knows what's happening in our lives. He's not a remote God who does not see or act. He is closely involved. He cares. He really cares about the detail. And He is mindful of Mary's humble, humiliated situation. She was facing humiliation as a pregnant girl in Nazareth. But God was mindful of that. And God made provision for her on that journey. And it's the same for us today, that God knows everything about us. And when we pray to him, he will not be shocked. He will not be surprised, because he knows everything anyway. He wants us to come to him and talk to him, not to inform him, but that we may invite him into the detail of our lives. And he's mindful. He's powerful. He's powerful. The Mighty One has done great things for me. I think if you come back this evening, you're going to hear some stories about the power of God. The power of God to change lives. And Mary says that my God, my Savior, the one that is in my womb, the Messiah, is the same God who has done mighty things in the past. He is the one who parted the Red Sea, who, when Pharaoh and his troops were pursuing Israel, the Red Sea was parted. They went over on the dry land, and the proud Pharaoh was dealt with. The hard heart of Pharaoh was dealt with. He says that he brings down the proud and he lifts up the humble. The power of God is a power to reverse situations in life. He's able to change situations. We see that all the way through Luke's gospel. We see the stories of Mary Magdalene, the one who had seven demons in her, the one who, there's a woman at the well with the one with five husbands. There's the story of the lepers. There's the story of Zacchaeus, the collaborator. And you see that when Jesus comes into their lives are reversed. The humble are lifted high. And the proud, like the ruler who sits on the throne and thinks he is God, struck dead and died on the spot. You see, at the end of the day, when Jesus judges the world, maybe our friends from Govan will be a lot closer to the throne than I will, because they put their faith into practice and they are Jesus to their community and they believe that God can do impossible things and they're prepared to step out in faith, not knowing where it's going to lead them. And you see, in the economy of God, the humble are lifted high. And those who think they know it all, who have all the words but don't have the actions, it'll be interesting to see what happens. But this is about God, the God of grace, who does not judge us according to what we deserve, but according to his amazing love. He doesn't want us to dwell on the past. He says, forget the former things. See, I am doing a new thing. He's doing a new thing in Israel. He's wiping the slate clean. He says, I'll give you a new heart. I'll give you a new spirit. If we will believe that he can do the impossible, if we will trust him at his word, if we are willing to go where he sends us, if we're willing to be humble, if we're willing to keep it personal and real, if we're willing to allow him into the detail of our lives, if we're willing to allow him to do it in his strength and not our strength, because he is powerful. But he is merciful. And We should have a song because of God's great mercy. We should have a song because of God's great love, because there is such energy that comes from a life in response to God's grace. So do you know this God? Do you know this God who is all-powerful but all-caring? This God who is able to reverse situations? This God who invites us to put our trust in him, that he would wipe the slate clean? Are you willing to allow God to journey with you, to take his hand today into the unknown, to continue your questions, to continue the dialogue, but to trust him for the things you'll never understand? He is here, and he wants you. Do you want him? Let us pray. Father God, we want to thank you for Mary's faith. But we thank you most of all for Jesus, the one to whom she points. And we want to ask, Lord, that you'd help us to receive your fresh invitation today to turn away from self-reliance and to put our trust in you, to take ourselves off the throne and to acknowledge that you are Lord. We turn away, Lord, saying that we are sorry. And we ask now, Lord, that you'd receive our thanks for coming into this world and for dying on the cross, not only for us, but for me. You are my Savior. Thank you, Lord. And now, Lord, take my life and let it be pleasing to you. Take my life, even though I don't know what's going to happen next, but from what I have heard in your word, I am prepared to trust you today. And I offer this prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'd like to encourage you not only to come back tonight, but to consider